Hi, Paul Slackus, Good News Planet. We're going to talk today about scientists responsible for creating cutting-edge innovations and new ways to help patients. And we have Dr. Klitgaard on the line. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
You're a neuroscientist and epilepsy researcher for UCB based in Belgium. And Loretta. Hello, Loretta. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Paul.
Good. You're an epilepsy patient and a mother of epilepsy patients. And why don't we just first start? And Loretta, thank you very much for sharing your story with us, and I'm sure others. That's really very, very, very strong in your character to want to help others learn, I guess, what you're learning. Thank you very much, Loretta. What is epilepsy, what causes it, or do we know or don't we know? Let's start with that, if you don't mind, Doctor.
Yes, so epilepsy is a major neurological disease affecting around 65 million people worldwide. If you take US, about 1 out of 26 have epilepsy. So it's characterized by a group of nerve cells in the brain that from time to time becomes hyperactive and, so to speak, create an electrical storm in the brain that results in seizures where patients may or may not lose their consciousness and have significant convulsions across their muscles. It's a heterogeneous disease, and it also comes beyond the seizures with comorbidities like anxiety, depression, and cognitive function. There can be several reasons for the disease. It can either be due to genetic factors, you know, genetic dysfunctions. It can be because of a brain injury. For instance, if you have a car accident and have an injury, then you may have an acquired epilepsy. And then we have a number of epilepsies where we honestly don't know why people have epilepsy. So it's a heterogeneous disease.
Okay, actually, that was the word I was going to, if you don't mind. I don't know what heterogeneous means. What does that mean? I'm sorry.
It means that the reasons for why people have epilepsy seems to differ, and certainly the symptoms and the consequences of the disease differ. In some patients, unfortunately, we see an increased mortality. In others, it's less evident. So it simply means that the reasons and the consequences of the disease is different among patients.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Loretta, how did you learn that this was something that you had?
Well, I was only age 13 when I had my first seizure and was diagnosed with epilepsy. When I was younger, during my teens, I suffered 2 seizures. Fortunately for me, at that time, there was medication available that helped to stop my seizures. So later on, when I had my children, I had 3 sons who were diagnosed with epilepsy. Sadly, 2 of my sons passed away due to their seizures. But my youngest son, Daniel, still lives with quite a severe seizure disorder. He has upwards of 150 or more seizures per month, so it greatly impacts his life.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, Doctor, how this new kind of a concept, a very direct patient-doctor relationship, how is this being evolved? Why is it being created?
I think this Together campaign serves an important purpose by giving you a real-life example of how important it is with innovation in medicine so we can find new and better treatments that can change the life of patients. And this is what we try to achieve by moving forward, patients and scientists together. And the epilepsy is a good example. So far, we only have symptomatic treatments for the disease beyond surgery. And what we need is treatments that really targeted the disease itself, so one day we can get to a cure. And I'm hopeful that if we continue with the advances I've seen in recent years, then innovation will enable us one day to provide a cure, because this is really what we need.
Now, you're a neuroscientist. Actually, I did the Brain series from PBS, and so many years ago. And so, is there potential, or is there any cures here? I mean, potential cures? Is it a surgical potential? Is there a medicine potential?
Yes.
What are we talking about possibly?
I mentioned that briefly, that there is surgery, resective surgery, which can't be considered a cure because in a large proportion of the patients undergoing surgery, there is really the effect of a cure. Now, only a limited number of epilepsy patients can undergo surgery for many technical reasons. So this is not a treatment opportunity for the majority of epilepsy patients. This is why we need to find other ways of finding new treatments that truly can interfere with the disease and then provide a cure.
Loretta, your family has lived with it and some of the tragedy, I guess, that you have. So is it an everyday kind of a wonder whether something's going to occur in your life and in your son's life?
Well, I'd have to say yes to that question. But I also have a great deal of hope that there will be a change to that condition. We have learned to live with epilepsy in our lives, but I also want to say that there's a lot of misconception about people who are living with epilepsy. I want people to know that there's no difference between us and anybody else. We're just like everybody else. And we live with hope that there will be cures, hope that there will be advances in treatments. I have seen tremendous advances in the treatment since I was first diagnosed, and I believe that we will see new treatments that can help patients like my son. So, yes. Every day we do live with the condition, but we also live with hope, and that's the message that I want other people to understand, is that we can live with hope.
I love that. I love your positive thinking. And Doc, I'd like to ask just one question, if that's okay, and then I have two other quick ones. My vision of epilepsy, or being near an epileptic situation that occurs, why do I have this, like, stick something in somebody's mouth? Is that fake, false, or is that something that no person should ever do if somebody has a seizure?
No, you should ensure that the patient is resting on the ground, lying in a position where the mouth is where the head is on the ground, and you should not stick anything in the mouth of an epilepsy patient. And
okay.
Indeed, I would like to echo also what Loretta say. There's a lot of stigmatization because of people having seizures, and this is not fair. Epilepsy patients are like you and me, and they should not be stigmatized.
Yeah, no, I agree 1,000%. I'm just wondering, how we can help, right? That's the wonderment here. And obviously what you're helping by sharing your good, positive message. We're involved with World Peace and the International Day of Peace, and health is peace, part of peace. And I ask many people, what does peace mean to them? And if you guys wouldn't mind saying, what is, for each one of you, maybe say your name, and what does peace mean to you?
Well, this is Loretta, and I guess what peace means to me is, accepting other people for who they are, encouraging other people to engage in who they are as an individual, and, accepting other people just for who they are and trying to live at peace, using that word, I guess, redundantly, but accepting other people for who they are and trying to love other people as an equal. That would be the basis for peace in my life.
Beautiful. Dr. Clickard, what is peace for you?
Loretta did the work for me. I fully agree with her definition.